Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Feeling a little rusty at this.
Yeah, welcome to episode 41, guys. It's going to be a shit show.
Yes. If it's anything like the way my morning is gone, it's going to be a shit show, guys.
Okay, so tell us as much as you can tell us about this morning.
Well, let's just start. Let's go back a little and start with where we've been, and we will get into my morning.
Okay.
So we have missed everybody. We haven't been here. You know, there are, unless you have your head up your ass, there are protests and riots going on all around this country and all around the world in regards to Black Lives Matter. And a gentleman that sparked it all was the victim named George Floyd. And out of respect and just wanting to learn more, Tabby and I decided to kind of mute ourselves and take this time to listen and learn and reflect and decide our feelings on it, right? I just didn't feel like it was the best time for two white chicks to be running their mouth, quite honestly. It felt a little weird to me.
It did, because I kind of feel like no matter what we said, we would have been wrong.
Right. And not just that, but no matter, you know, this is not a safe space. And especially me, I say a lot of things that I think is funny and forget that they can be insensitive. And so where I want to support and be a part of a podcast that we're able to express our feelings, I also want to do so and make sure that we're learning and listening before we just openly run our mouth.
Understand.
So that being said, it's been a crazy 2 weeks. Yeah. Seattle is now, I don't even know what the fuck is going on in Seattle.
It's got an autonomous zone.
Yeah, it's called Capitol Hill Organized Protest. And I didn't even find out about this until Monday on my way home from vacation.
Capitol Hill
Organized Protest is what they've changed.
It's a CHOP, not a CHAZ anymore.
Yeah, they've changed from CHAZ to CHOP. They have armed Americans have gone in and taken over 6 blocks within downtown Seattle. They have built a wall.
Yep.
They are requiring ID cards to get in. And they have basically stuck a flag in it and said that this is their property and this is what's going on. And all the police have left and evacuated. And they took over a precinct. And I'm just amazed, I think.
I'm dumbfounded how this happened. I mean, they took over 6 city blocks and police left and their dominions are ridiculous or crazy, right? Because have you heard some of their demands?
No, but I know one of them tried to call the police and they were like, what do you want us to do about it? You locked us out.
Right. You are now
self-police. Yeah, you're self-policing yourself.
But I find it so ironic. These are the same people that are against borders for a country, yet they created a border within a city using guns that these people protest against. Right. I mean, the hypocrisy of it all is just hilarious.
That's why I mentioned the ID cards, because, you know, it's a big deal that you shouldn't be able to ID an immigrant or, you know, demand identification. But here they are.
For voting.
Requesting identification and demanding identification to prove that you live within those city blocks. So a lot of the things that they were against before, they quickly created within their own little organization. I imagine in my mind, just because my picture of Seattle is a bunch of hippie-loving, granola-eating people. So I imagine it to be this big festival. I read one article that says there's a lot of music playing and a painting and meditation. And I was like, and that they're eating granola. And I was like, oh, so I am right. What the fuck is going on? What world do we live in now that you can just take over a major city?
Right. And not be any, like, I want to know where their local, where is Washington's local government going? What the fuck do you think you're doing?
Well, so this is what I was talking to with my sister and husband on the way home. I think that they're scrambling, the government at this point, like, oh shit, all right, well, is this allowed? What laws have they broken? Because look, they've taken over buildings. Yeah. And that they don't own, that they're not paying for. There's city water still being pumped in there. There's city electric that they're not paying for. That, in my opinion, fine. If you want to go live outside of the city, if you want to create your own little world within the United States, go find some property, pay for it.
Yep.
And go move your granola eating ass out there. However, those buildings that you're occupying are owned
by businesses, people who make money from there. And now they're telling those people that if they want protection, they better pay up because they have no food, they have no resources. So now they're expecting these businesses to support them.
Right.
I would be like, have my business, I'm walking out. Because I'm not paying for a bunch of dumbass kids.
Right. It's so strange. I don't know how much of it benefits the Black Lives Matter movement or, you know, what we're trying to accomplish or what the world is trying to accomplish in regards to the police departments. It's a little humorous. It's a little crazy. It's also just crazy that we live in a country that you could do that, right? If this was any other country, you would have seen tanks rolling down the streets already. So I do feel great about it that we live in a free country where we're allowed to have these tantrums. Not that it's not justified, by the way. Like, you know, that man was killed and people are being murdered by police officers. And that is not being argued here, but just the method of it's just shit you see on movies. Then I'm like, what is going on? What I am excited about is, all right, my concern with the protests was, is it enough? Is this going to be enough to actually create change? Is there going to be enough wake and waves in the water? Whatever Seattle's doing has definitely got enough attention to be like, okay, well, let's look at things. Let's maybe, you know, dissect our police departments. Let's do these things. So we'll just see. Or they're just having a big festival that is going to have to be hosed down and cleaned off. And those six city blocks will be disgusting when it's all done.
So festival's not the word I would use.
Right. What would you use?
Tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
Is because they've put a flag up. They've stamped it. It's their own area. They've given it a name. In like, it's treason.
But do you know the laws that they've broken?
Well, let's see. They're denying access against the street. They took over a police precinct.
Technically, the police abandoned it.
And why did they abandon it?
Because there were people with guns outside.
Huh. I don't think those people have proper permits for those guns.
Well, I mean, we don't know that.
No, we don't.
Because this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the mayor, the police chief, they are searching and digging and have law experts digging into every possible law. And there's no doubt in my mind that people are going to end up arrested. Because you're right. They are breaking laws. But what I'm saying is you have to know exactly which laws and be able to pinpoint it so that you're not withholding their rights for a peaceful protest, because that's what you don't want to do. But you want to be able to make a list and say, these are all the laws you're breaking. These are the ways you can remedy it. If not, you have 48 hours to leave, or we're coming
for you. Absolutely.
Right.
Did you see the video I sent you on Facebook?
Which one?
The naked man running down the street in Chaz, or now as you call it, Chop. Did you see that? That man was fucking running naked and saying it was his spiritual belief. And this is what we do in Chaz as his ass cheeks and balls are flopping up and down. And I'm going, and someone even pointed out, there's fucking children. There's children around. And this guy is running around naked. And there's another story about that, what happened there. So this guy went in there and someone went into his tent and stole his laptop and like $400. So he goes to the people in charge, even though they're all supposed to be in charge. There's no, everybody's in control, right? That's what they say.
So there's nobody in charge there?
Technically, there's
That's the start of a shit show right there.
Yeah. So he went to someone and they said, well, it's not really theft. You need to think of it more as a donation, because I'm sure that the person, and they referenced to an African-American, probably needed it more than you, because white people in that area are supposed to pay the black people in that area. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to give them their money. So they told this kid that they needed it more than you did and considered a donation, even though it was an unwilling donation, because let's be real, it's fucking theft.
So we're robbing you, but we're calling this a donation.
Correct. But now I want you to get this straight. Think about this for a second. They literally said that the black person stole it. Right. They don't know who stole it, but they're saying it's a donation. So the black person was entitled to steal it from you. Is that your opinion of black people, that they're thieves? How degrading is that? Isn't that opposite of what you're supposed to be for?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking absurd. I do think at one point we're going to see lines of police officers or military come through.
Yeah.
I think what they are doing is digging into the laws, the rules, and going to give them at some point an ultimatum. And it's going to either end peacefully
or not,
or it's going to end like Waco. In my opinion, they should be paying for city water. They should be paying for all the electricity and paying for the property. I'd send them the invoices for every commercial building they are sitting in.
Yeah.
If this is what you want to do, be ready. Yeah. And shut everything off. If you're going to be there, then you need to pay for it, because that's the way this world works, at least.
Pretty much, because they do not own that property. It is not theirs. So, and you were talking about what laws
they broke. My fucking battery's about to die. I'm going to have a fucking gal.
Oh, no.
Keep talking. I'm underneath my desk.
So Sabrina has dipped under the desk and is now looking for something. But anyways, and you were talking about laws that were being broken. How about obstruction of traffic? I mean, they're literally obstructing traffic. That is illegal. You're not allowed to do that.
Right. That's what my sister was telling me in their county, that when you are going to have a protest, that you file a permit.
Yep.
Not to get permission, but so that the police can, or the city, whoever it is, can clear the streets to keep people safe.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're doing it peacefully and you want to make change, this is the way you do it. You don't take over 6 city blocks and then start demanding ID and freaking set up a camp with guns.
It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. What I am excited about, like I said, though, is if these crazy things end up creating change. I think a lot of times in the U.S. is what happens is we get upset about stuff. Things happen. You get riled up and then life gets busy. I think that's the exact reason why, you know, they've already said, our governor, our mayor, we're not shutting the economy back down. We're not shutting the state back down, regardless that the numbers have increased from this pandemic. And I think the reason is, let's keep these people busy.
Right. So
they got to get back to work so they're not standing on the streets.
We have to get back to work. And I had learned, you know, because now the numbers are starting to rise.
Right.
Again, right? Because we knew the COVID was going to come back after the protest, right? Because we shut everything down. We were super scared about the disease. But it was okay to protest because there were a lot of officials that were like, oh, don't let the COVID, you know, stifle your right to protest. Mm-hmm. But don't go to church.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like that. And I had found out that, you know, when you get COVID,
mm-hmm.
you have to take X amount of tests consecutively until you have two tests that are negative back to back. Right? Makes sense, right? They test right. you, mm-hmm. they test you, you're positive, blah, 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 right? Well, what they're doing is for every single test, they're counting that as a case.
Right.
And not just one person. So they're right. making the numbers look larger than they actually are. Instead of saying this number of people have it, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, these are all these cases of positive, 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 but it's still the same person.
Right. Well, not just that, but testing results are just now coming in as well. So even if the test was taken weeks ago, those results are just coming in. So now I do believe that since opening the economy and opening businesses back up, I mean, shit, Lynch's Pub in Jacksonville made national news. 17 people got sick, 7 employees and 11 customers,
really?
All part of a friend group that went out drinking at the bar, and
wow.
They all got sick over the weekend. Whenever the bars opened 2 weekends ago. So Lynch's shut back down,
right?
Sterilized everything and opened up and then had all their employees tested. What my pushback is, you had 90 fucking days to do that.
Right. What were you doing?
Right. What you were doing was there were a lot of bar owners at the beach complaining and writing letters to the governor to reopen. Well, you should have been using that time to deep clean your entire nasty ass fucking restaurant. You should
right.
have used that time to test your employees before you brought them back to work, resulting in your customers getting sick. That is poor judgment on, and that's the part that people have to be careful about, right?
Right.
You know, you want to go back out and you want to feel normal. Well, you better hope that the businesses had as much caution as you did the last 90 days, right? Because that's what the lady said. She's a nurse. And she was like, I did everything I was supposed to do for 90 days. And she said, and maybe I was too carefree by going to a bar, but it opened and we needed a break and all of us ended up sick. That's my worst fear after sitting here for 90 days, then to get sick. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to fucking do that.
No,
so
I understand that. And,
yeah.
And you can't tell which place is safe because even the cleanest looking places could just be
yeah,
just
absolutely.
As dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to that bar, what was it, 2 weekends or 3 weekends ago?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a dive, hole in the wall, but nobody got sick.
Oh, which one? Arnold's?
Yeah, that one.
Remember the lady at Arnold's told us that the next place was a hole in the wall and we walked in and it was like the nicest karaoke bar I've
yes.
ever been into. We were like,
great.
What?
What? It's because it didn't have prime rib.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So let me jump back to the Black Lives Matter issue and just state, because I know people want to know our opinions. And if you don't want to share yours, I'm comfortable with that. And I think everybody should. What I will say is, you know, everybody knows that my sister and my wife are former military, not my wife, her wife, former military. And my sister is a former police officer. My sister-in-law is currently a police officer. We're praying every day that she doesn't get injured or hurt. My sister has said that this is the most fearful she's ever been for her wife's life, including every tour of Iraq and Afghanistan ever. That being said, she also understands, and I also feel, and I'm just going to speak from my side of, there's room for improvement everywhere. And for any of us to say that there's not, it's just stubbornness, right? I mean, you think about the way that there's a piss off the police ticket that everybody talks about. You know, you can't even look at a police officer a certain way. You can't, even if you're white, if you dare question or say anything, mm-hmm. you've got this person in uniform in your face. That is not what it's supposed to be about. I worry that they do have too much power. I saw a police officer in Jacksonville that made the news the other day. A black off-duty police officer working as security at Walmart, punch a man in the face in front of his wife and children because the man didn't speak English and he didn't understand what was going on. It should not have escalated that quickly, and that should not be okay. You should not be allowed to be punched in the face and then arrested, and then you and I've talked about the fines and penalties and everything mm-hmm. that you then have to pay. It's not fair. And I'm not against every precinct or city being audited and creating, whether it's done statewide or citywide, creating a department, a special task force to go in and audit. And if you have no issues in your police department, you have nothing to hide. If you do, then there's room for improvement, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Right. I'm not saying all police officers are bad. I'm not saying that the police should be defunded financially. That's the most absurd thing I've ever fucking heard. We need police officers. I just don't know if they need to have so much power. Do they need to be ticketing for jaywalking? Should you be calling a police officer for that? Or should you be calling a community officer? I don't know all the answers to it. What I'm saying is there's room for improvement. And their argument when it comes to Black lives and the fact that they're in danger, I do agree with that. I worry about my friend's sons. It's a difference between my son walking down to the front of the neighborhood at night compared to his son. And it's foolish of me to act like that's not true, because it is true.
Right.
You know, and that's, it shouldn't be like that anymore.
No, so, it shouldn't.
I think this is all good. I hope good things come from it. I think the only way to do that, though, is to be accepting of the change and accepting of improvement. Mm-hmm. There's no harm in improving everything. If you don't feel like you've done anything wrong, then it's not going to affect you.
Right.
So why fight against it?
Right. And I completely agree with you. And what people really have to understand is your chief of police who handles the morale of your police department comes from your mayor, comes from your local government. Those right. people choose who your police officers are. So if you're in an area where there's a lot of police brutality for whoever, vote for somebody different. Get right. out there and start making the changes. Defunding the police isn't going to do that. Right. I mean, that's just going to let the criminals go rampant.
Well, I think, you know, there's two different definitions of defunding the police. One is financial, and the other is taking away some of the power that they have. Is it necessary for the police to be called on every single call? Or is there a way to give some of the power back to the people? That's what this country was always about anyways, mm-hmm. right? The problem is we get so lazy as these laws and rules are changing, and we're like, man, that's fucked up. Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, man, that really sucks. Oh, I got to go to work. And then now we're at the point where we're like, wait, I can't even leave my trash can here or there because now there's a law about this and uh-huh. that and this. What the fuck happened?
Right, because there...
How did it become so extreme?
Because there's no social responsibility.
Well, I think also I think so. And I think, you know, we all stay so, and I think this is the benefit of COVID, is that being quarantined for 90 days has kept us separated from friends, family, coworkers. We've all been able to sit by ourselves. And so when this happened, I think it allowed space. My opinion on a lot of things have changed. Mm-hmm. You know, where you and I have talked about the statues and the flag, and before I was against it. Quite honestly, I don't care. Take it down. I don't find them offensive. I don't find them pride prideful either. I don't care. And as far as I know, like the one they took down in Jacksonville overnight, I didn't even know it was a Confederate monument. I've been to that park. Granted, I've never seen anybody there to support it. I've never seen a bunch of Confederate support. Like my husband is a son of the Confederacy. He's never said, we got to go visit this thing. Right. So let's put him in a museum. Maybe nobody will come and visit it.
Or may
these people that care so much might not come and visit it. But let's not put it in people's faith. If I care too much about my neighbor and my friends. You know, we all love Dion, right? I fear for him all the time that something will happen to him just because of the way he looks. And I love him enough that if it bothers him, fucking take it down, put it in a building somewhere. Go and support it there if that's what matters to you. If it is offensive to his children, to his take it down. I don't care anymore.
Okay.
Why are we, like, let's fight about something else. We're not asking you to erase history, but there is also some concern to me of what history are we teaching people? You know, the history that we're all learning is regulated by counties and states. We're not all being taught the same thing. Is it quite possible that we've been told a better story than what really happened? Yeah,
probably so. And it's not as grotesque as it really was. And it's not,
or it's, not, it's more grotesque.
No, that's what I mean. It is more grotesque than what we've actually been taught. And I think that has to do with the age of what we're teaching children, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're teaching American history at 6th, 7th grade. There's no need to really expose children to the true grotesqueness of what slavery happened, right? Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
I don't know. At what age should you say? 6th or 7th grade?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, or even younger than that, but I mean, really, truly, I mean, are you going to talk to a 6th grader about rape? Because that mm-hmm. happened. I mean.
The answer is yes, Tabby. I mean, I am the mother of a 9-year-old daughter who is well aware of what sexual assault is. Because they have to know, because if you don't tell them, God forbid they find out because their guard is down and they believe this world is oh so great and wonderful.
Okay, true. Right.
Right. That, you know, in a perfect world, I would love to raise my daughter for her not to know that we enslave black men and women and rape their women and all kinds of crazy things, that is part of the history of the United States. It's terrible. It is. But it's part of our history. It's also part of our responsibility to acknowledge it and move forward from it and make sure that these Americans, because they are all Americans and they all started this country with us, feel like they are now equal to us. And I don't feel like they are.
So do you think when you're talking about the education that it's fair to also teach that there were black slave traders?
Well, of course. I mean, the truth is the truth, right? But we're talking about this. I think this is the problem. When we start saying, and I'm talking because I was saying this before, that, well, they were sold by Africans in Africa. Blame them. That's so blame shifty of rather than just saying, let's talk about the U.S. Yes, somebody sold them over there, but we bought them and then we enslaved them and we took away their rights and we kept them as second-class citizens for a long, long time. We have used their votes on each side of the party to try to get what each side of each political party has wanted. We've used their faces for our campaigns. We've done all of this besides it while also saying like, hey, by the way, get over the past. How can you get over the past when it's still happening in some form? I'm just not willing to fight that fight anymore. It happened. Mm-hmm. It happened. And if you think about mental health, if you think about, because people will say, and I've even said, get over it, right? You weren't a slave. Get over it. I bet your grandma wasn't a slave. Get over it.
Right.
However, if you think about just mental health, of an abused victim and the anger and mistrust that that breeds from generation to generation, it makes sense to me now why there's such anger and hatred about slavery from Black Americans. It also makes sense to me why white generational prejudice continues, because it's all taught over and over. And even if we're all putting on a pretty face and acting like it's not there, it's still there.
It is. It is still there.
And there's still a lot of good, though, right? And I think that's the other thing is, like, Charlamagne, did you listen to that podcast
I sent you? I had started to, yeah.
So Charlamagne was defending, he's such a great man because he supports, obviously, Black Lives Matter and supports getting equal rights, but he also does not think it's every white person. And he also understands that in this movement today, compared to when it happened years ago, there's more white people than ever that have finally said, you know what? They're fucking right. There's something going on and it needs to stop. And I really think that the reason that's happened is because we've all been home. I've been away from my peer group. I've been away from my friends. I've been away from my coworkers. I've been away from my family. That all, no matter what, it, in your normal life has influences on you. Where now you're able to sit back and go, fuck. There's something going on and I'm not against fixing it. Uh-huh. And if I've earned my job based on my merit and my ability, I have nothing to worry about.
Right.
So why fight it?
Okay.
So I just feel like, just my opinion, so people know that I can never say fuck the police. That's never going to come out of my mind or my mouth. I will never support attacking a police officer without merit or just breaking the law in general, right? I'm not okay with that. I believe in consequences and things like that. But I do feel like there is an issue with racism in this country. There's an issue with equalism in this country. It's very easy as a white woman that makes a lot of money to say that nothing is happening. And I would be an asshole for doing that. And I refuse to do that. And I won't do that anymore. And I was wearing my Blue Lives Matter shirt the other day. I was inside the house. I'll tell you what, when I went outside, I stopped at my door and I went and changed my shirt. Not because I don't support it. And I talked to my sister about it, because if a neighbor drove by, just a stranger, it's a slap in the face to them right now, saying to go like, wait, not Black Lives Matters, all lives matters, police lives matter. They're not saying it doesn't. What they're saying right now is they need fucking help. And I'm here to help in any way I can. I'm not going to be, it's just not the time. My sister, my sister-in-law knows that I love and support them. Okay. It's not the time. It would be like me going to an LGBT community or protest and wearing a shirt that says heterosexual lives matter.
Yeah.
Of course they do. That's an asshole move.
Right.
To go to one of these rainbow things and to carry a different flag just on purpose and then demand, where's my flag? Why? Right. You're just being an asshole to fight against something.
Okay.
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person anymore.
I gotcha.
So that's just my opinion on it. That's why I didn't feel comfortable talking, because my sister asked me if I was coddling my feelings, because she listened to our last podcast when we were talking about riots and all these other things. And I told her, I said, I'm not holding back my feelings from you, but what has happened is my opinion's changing.
Right.
As I'm learning and reading more and making myself learn and read more and read from a different point of view, my opinion is changing and I'm not going to fight against it. If we're not doing anything wrong, all that can come from it is improvements.
Okay. So
I'm not worried about it.
I agree that we need to do something with the police departments. Obviously not defund or get rid of the police, but there needs to be an internal audit. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that what also needs to happen is we do need to help the Black communities. But, you know, I stand for what overall Black Lives Matter stands for, but I mm-hmm. cannot get behind the organization after what I just learned. Mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter is an actual corporation with no locations. It mm-hmm. has acquired over $20 million, which gets distributed to different political campaigns or by a third party. None of that money goes back to the Black communities. Mm-hmm. None. Not a single penny. Do you know how much money that would go in Chicago or Seattle or any of the other Black communities where they need it?
Mm-hmm.
That just, you know, if you say Black Lives Matter, then what are you doing to improve their lives?
Mm-hmm.
What is being done? Where are the programs? Where is the support? Where is the help? Where's the education? You're fundraising $20 million fucking dollars
mm-hmm.
to go to a politician who's not going to do shit for you. Put the money mm-hmm. back where the people need it.
So don't use it to get politicians hired, because...
But they're giving it to politicians like Joe Biden. They're not giving it to local politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They need to go to the communities because mm-hmm. that's where they need it.
Yeah. I don't know enough about Black Lives Matter to argue against or agree with that. I have no idea. I think... going after the organization in itself will be taken as a way to divert again from the actual issue. Whether it's Black Lives Matter, Black Panthers, Black whatever organization, this fucking hippie Seattle group, whoever it might be.
You mean Antifa?
You know, the goal is to get equality for all, right? And we've done it for women, kind of. We've done it for the gay community.
Kind of.
Don't look at these people and say, well, your life doesn't matter. All of them do. For God fucking sakes, give them their right and make them eat. It's such an asshole fucking move. If somebody had killed a fucking dog on that street, this whole country would have gone fucking apeshit. God forbid we hurt a dog, but they killed a man on the street. It's not okay.
It's not.
It's not okay.
No, I absolutely agree with you. It's not okay. Did you know about the Breonna case before George Floyd? Where was the outcry over her? I mean.
Well, listen, there's a lot of Black men and women that have died that get pushed under the rug. Yep. And I think that through the investigations, we're going to learn more names. And there's going to be a lot of Breonnas and whoever it might be that, and terrible stories of women and mothers and children and fathers and loss that we had no idea about. What I hate to see is everybody fighting against them. Well, did you know that they had a record? Who cares? It doesn't mean they deserve to die.
Sure didn't.
Well, did you hear that he hit his wife before? I don't care. It does not mean he deserved to die.
It doesn't.
When you have decided to walk a perfect fucking path in your life, please feel free to dig up everybody's skeletons. Until then, why can't you help your fucking neighbor? Why can't that? It's insane to me, and it saddens me. I can't imagine. I know what I felt like feeling as a woman. Not feeling like men supported us. I can't imagine what it must feel like to be a Black man or woman and not feel like the entire country doesn't support you and that your lives are disposable. besides playing football, because it was, if it was a football star and we were getting entertainment from them, we would support them. But if you're just an everyday black man, your life is disposable. And it's sickening to me that we've fought against that. If you have nothing to worry about, and I'll say it again, if your police department is fine, you come out with an A+ rating. It's just like what we do in our school systems, right? We said our school system was bad. So then we created a grading system. We found out a lot of them were bad.
They sure were.
So then in the city of Jacksonville, we're working to get these D-rated schools up to B's, C's, whatever it might be. If you're in an A-rated police department, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. So
it shouldn't be an issue.
They just need to have an internal audit, which I thought most police police systems had. I thought every time there was a police shooting, there's an internal investigation done.
Yeah, but what if it's your own people doing the internal investigation? What if it's the same? You remember that the article we talked about before where it was a police officer saying that it's the culture within that precinct that needs to be changed? If it's internal investigations, what is it called? Internal affairs. Uh-huh. And that is a member of the same police culture. That's like having me check your work and giving us A's, right? That's silly. You have to have an outside special task force, just the way we do it all the time. We have special task force for everything.
You should ask your sister about that, because my only reference is TV shows. Right. So, they in the TV shows, they're part of the force, but they're their own separate department and area. And they always fight with each other kind of deals. So, I would assume that's how it's set up, but I personally don't know. So maybe you should ask your sister, because she might have some experience and like knowing.
Yeah, she said that she supported outside special task force coming in and self-auditing.
Right.
All of these should be reported. There should be, video cams if available. There should be police reports. There should be witness interviews. There should be autopsies. So if all of that is handled correctly, then an outside source, because listen, we're not going to believe police auditing police.
Right.
Give me a break. That's not the way an audit works. You create an outside firm, and in order to give us the people peace of mind, it has to be a diverse firm, right? It can't just be all black people. It just can't be all white people. It has to be a mix that we know are going in with the benefit of the people, with the people in mind to keep us safe.
But who creates that?
These people carry guns.
But who creates that?
No idea. And I'm not expected to have all the answers. That's not my fucking job. I have no fucking clue.
Right. But like,
no clue.
So like, that's my question. So like, I agree with it in theory, but who creates it? Your local government that's already corrupt? So now your outside agency is going to make you feel better, but nothing is going to come of it, because it's the exact same people. Like you said, police department shouldn't be investigating the police. But if it's hired by the same motherfucker who's corrupt and putting all these other power-hungry people in these positions, you're not achieving anything.
Right. I don't think that they'll allow the police to pick the whoever's going to do these things. And I know each state and county and have slowly started to come out with their plans and ideas. And I think it will be a growing and changing idea, because nobody knows, right? There's a little bit of formula or a little bit of history where it's been done in other areas. There's just no harm in when we give somebody so much power in reviewing it and taking some of it back, and also reviewing what they've been doing with that power.
Right.
This is a country that is supposed to be about the people and not about the people in charge.
Correct.
And when you start arguing against that, are you really then arguing for America, or are you just arguing for your own self-preservation? It's supposed to be about the people. That does not include white Sabrina. It includes the poorest of black people. I need to keep in mind that is what this country is supposed to be about. We very quickly forget that it's supposed to be about all of us, not just one of us.
Agreed. But if you're going, and that comes back to voting, if you don't go out and you don't vote your local mayor, your local sheriff, and all the people in power that would have to create this agency, you're going to get the same shit. You got to go out and vote. And you know what? You've had problems. Fucking vote them out.
Yeah, but even voting, I don't think, even if we had an elect, because we've had a black president before, right? We've had mostly Democrats in the House and all of this other stuff. I think a movement like this, there has to be a big drop in the water to create the waves. And the election process hasn't worked so far, right? We keep doing it. We all keep getting the same results. We keep doing this. We all keep getting the same results. Well, fuck. I mean, look at the LA riots. That was 20, 30 years right. ago. Nothing changed.
I'm not saying the president election or the Congress or the Senate. I am talking.
We had a Democratic mayor here in Jacksonville for years. So that's what I'm saying. Like, in my opinion, something like this had to happen in order to say there's laws in place. Because if you hire somebody into an office, it's very difficult to undo a law at this point. It's not just simply go out and vote and they can get it done. No, because they're still fighting against other people and other legislation. What I'm saying is that we've probably given too much power away.
So then how do you take it back?
No idea. I mean, something like this, right? Something like this that takes a big move that is not going to say, well, this has to be an elected thing. Let's go through these processes that we've created to slow you people down. We're saying, no, we're not doing this shit anymore. You're not going to keep telling us what to do and we keep getting the same results. Let's fucking do something. That's the way this country was made. That's the whole point of the Revolutionary War, right? We said, we're not paying those fucking taxes anymore. You're not telling us what to do. We're going to govern ourselves. Let's get into war with our queen.
Right.
We did that. That the Civil War, same thing. We didn't want to pay these taxes. We wanted to keep slavery. They got into the fight. The winner won. Okay, great. Every fucking movement we've ever had has come from big, impactful things. We can't keep complaining on Facebook. We can't just keep going out to vote. It's not working.
No, I agree.
So maybe this will
work.
So
you're saying...
I just think that we don't have enough power.
So you're saying we should all up in arms and become... and have a war?
A war of some sorts. You know, I think that Black Americans' lives are being taken for granted. And they probably feel that they've been under fire for years and decades, and it's just not fucking fair.
Right.
And so, yeah, whether it is a physical war of guns, I mean, that's the whole reason why we're allowed to arm ourselves, right? Is we didn't want our government to have
too much control,
all the guns. Right. And that's what's happened.
It has.
There's so many laws, like, for so many things that it's just time to say, wait a second. But there might be, and I'm not saying that I'm against all these laws, right? If you come to me and I'm like, this law is fucking dumb, tell me why it works.
Right.
And if somebody can stop and explain it to you, okay, great, let's go to the next one.
Right, but that's your opinion. But somebody else
might. Of course. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right. But that's the problem, right? That's everybody's got opinion on what is good and what is bad, and it's different, and you have to sort through all that messiness, which is why they created voting. And I know I keep going back to it, but, you know, the laws that we have, you know, you want to talk about erasing them, or not all of them, but, you know, the certain ones, but how do we do that? Like, I can't get a plan out of anybody. Like, how?
No, of course.
And that's the problem. It's like, okay, so what's the plan? What's the solution? What do we do? Okay, I know you guys I know we are angry. We are upset. There has been injustice. But what do we do to solve this problem? And you can't get an answer from anybody.
Right. Well, you know why, I think? Because we've never lived through this before. We've never gone through anything like this before. This is our moment of time, right? this year will be in the history books. The way that the Americans either roll over and just go back to normal, or this is the moment that things change. And I'm hoping that it's B. I hope that when they write that we went through this pandemic, we went through these riots, these lives were spared, but this was the outcome. And this is what the American people did in this moment. Hopefully that's what will happen.
And hopefully that outcome is a good one. The change is a good change, right?
Right. Well, listen, it might not be good for everybody. A lot of people are very content with the way their lives are right now. A lot of people are very happy with the way their lives are, and they can't see outside of their own view.
Right.
So there might be, and I have no idea what law I'm even talking about or what change I'm even talking about. But I can tell you there are a lot of people that are very happy right now with the way the world is, because they honestly just cannot see the world from their own advantage point.
Right. And I can understand that.
And they use that advantage point and their point of view to dictate the way the world is, when you truly don't know. Even me, to say that I support my Black friends and neighbors and whoever it might be, or even a stranger, I'm still talking from, you know, my 2,300 square foot home, you know, being a overprivileged white woman with overprivileged children and married to a white man. I, as much as I try to empathize and sympathize with them, I will truly never get it, ever, ever. But I cannot watch another mother lose their fucking son for walking down the street and being Black. I can't. I can't. When that man cried for his mom, I just can't do that anymore. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to sit around and let my white fucking friends tell me. I can't. I saw somebody post the other day, Tabby. I wasn't raised with white privilege. I've worked my fucking ass off. My father was dirt fucking poor. He was raised in an orphanage, and out of his brothers and sisters, the only ones to become successful. I understand that argument. I understand that he was given no roadmap to success. Uh-huh. But I can also tell you, because he was white, that his doors were opened for him more easily than if he was a Black man. And for us to ignore that is just fucking ridiculous. It takes away no accomplishment from my father. He was a hardworking fucking man. I am a hardworking fucking woman. But it is helpful that I am white.
Okay.
It is. And it takes nothing away from me. People are so scared of their privilege. Everybody is so scared to say, yes, white privilege is existent and I'm a part of it, because they feel like it takes something away from them. It doesn't. I've still earned my position at my job. My father earned every blood, sweat, and tears, but he was still white. He didn't have to worry about when he walked home, even in the ghetto and in the poorest communities, he wasn't going to be jumped. He wasn't going to be harassed by a police officer. His Black friends would. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
And fighting against that, it's aggravating to me to see people posting about that. It's just so aggravating. People are so scared about taking something away from themselves.
You know, I think part of the thing, because it just popped into my head, was, you know, people are afraid of the white privilege. And probably because in our society, when we talk about privilege, we talk about famous actors and actresses and comedians. And, oh, they're so fucking privileged and they don't understand what the real world is and all of this sort of stuff, right? And it feels like when you say, oh, you have white privilege, you're putting white people in this elite group. When not all white people are elite. I mean,
right.
I live, 700 yards away from a meth house? You wouldn't know it,
right.
But I do. And every fucker that comes into that and comes and goes are white fucking meth heads. And dirty, dirty ass people. you know? So maybe that's the stigma around the word.
Yeah. There's some great articles written about white privilege, especially when it comes to working class Americans, right? Because I do feel, you know, it's not just racism, but classism. You and I've talked about the attack on the poor, whether white or black. There are the poorest of poor whites that that have a hard time arguing because they've worked every fucking day of their life. For nothing. They'll never be CEOs. They'll never own a Chanel bag. They'll never own any of that, right?
They won't own a local ice cream shop. They're so bored. They won't move out of the trailer park and will never stop turning tricks because that's all they've got.
Right. And so then I understand their argument of I was given no privilege. The difference is I read this one good article that talked about the fact that you also have to think about their point of view of the world, or from they're only talking about their viewpoint, right? Their viewpoint, where quite honestly, in a lot of these small towns of working class white Americans, of poor ones, they don't know any black people. So what they're seeing is, well, in Chicago, it's happening. Well, of course it's happening in Chicago. That's a big city. But in small town America, that's not happening. Well, yeah, because you don't know any black people there, Billy Bob. And I'm not saying that your local sheriff, what your local sheriff is doing is probably fucked up too. Because I'm sure rich white boy is getting away with stuff while your poor ass white son is not.
In the end, money fucking talks.
Right. And so... But the difference that he needs to think about is if he took his white son, dropped him in the middle of Chicago, he could walk 8 city blocks without being attacked by a police officer.
But that white little boy would probably get his ass jumped by a...
Oh, yeah. But that's not what we're arguing. We're not arguing... Well, now you want to argue all fucking attacks?
I'm just saying, he would still be attacked.
Again, that's, to me, that sounds like justifying it. We're talking about police brutality here, and you put that man, I mean, of course, if I go into downtown, I don't even go into downtown fucking Jacksonville at night. Give me a break. But if you take that kid and put him in downtown Chicago, and then you take the same kid but black, who's going to be harassed by the police? It's going to be, hey, Billy Bob, hurry up and get inside before it becomes dark. To the black guy, it's going to be, what are you doing here? Where are you coming from? Let me see your ID. What are you doing in this neighborhood? Where Billy Bob might be a fucking meth head from down the street from you, but because he's white, he's given the benefit of the doubt. That is not fair.
No, it's not. I completely agree with you. That is not fair.
And I'm not saying in parts of this city that a white man can't go into a black neighborhood and he's going to get jumped. Absolutely. Just like if a black man came into a super racist, or even not, I hate to just call people racist, but if they walked into that meth head thing, that there wouldn't be racial slurs and he's going to get jumped. That's insane to think that that's not true. But to use that as an argument of, well, he's getting beat up too. I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, the difference is we have a privilege because of our skin color. We do. It just doesn't matter. It's, I can go into a store and people aren't going to think I'm shoplifting. Guess what? I did shoplift.
Right.
They never looked at me. They definitely looked at my friends. They didn't look at me.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason. I walked out with just as much candy in my pockets that they did. They never once stopped me. When I went to the courthouse and demanded or said that I did my community service and the judge berated the community service officer, guess what? I didn't really do it. I didn't really do those community service hours. As a pretty white girl, I went up to the guy that I was supposed to be doing it. I batted my eyelashes, said I did it. He filled out the forms. I went in front of the judge like an asshole at 18 years old and said, I did it. Look at me. They put me in handcuffs. Poor me. and they berated him. I don't know, and I can't swear that if it was a black female, she would have been given the same treatment, that they would have believed everything she said. I was given the benefit of the doubt, and I lied through my fucking teeth.
So you had white privilege and female privilege.
Of course. And there's more than just white privilege. I know that I'm privileged now more than I was when I was 200 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's all kinds of bias, whether it's race or it in
your sex, your looks, your sexability. Right.
Everything, there's privilege. And I'm aware of it. I'm aware that I use it at times.
Okay.
I don't care for people when they just try to act like people are just so scared it's going to take away from something from them.
Right.
Right. Your privilege gets you to a certain point.
But your merit has to carry you the rest of the way.
Right. And that's all I'm saying. And that makes it a fair game. If we can take away the privilege and all of us get a fair run at everything.
Uh-huh.
Well, great. That's the way the world should be. That's the way we all like to think it's working.
Right. And, you know, back to your scenario about the two kids, that's not going to be a law thing. That's not laws. That's society change.
Well, the police.
Right. And changing the police. But.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, in general, it is a societal thing.
It is.
It's
it
not,
is. Yeah.
We're not going to have some big law. And the whole world is going to be better. Because, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to change everybody's opinion.
Right. And the difference here and the hard part is we have to be able to trust each other, right?
Right.
Like, we have to be able to trust that even when I'm speaking and if I say things wrong, that the intent behind it is pure. Same thing with you. Mm-hmm. You know, that your intent is not to come from one side or from one point of view, but we should be able to talk freely and feel like we can trust each other.
Yes.
And it's going to take a long time for everybody to get there.
Right.
I think the good thing is that the generation that you and I come from is a little more open-minded than the generations ahead of us. You know, it's our generation and maybe one ahead that's been able to get all these rights and really fight for the LGBTQ community.
Right.
It's going to be this same generation to make sure that it's equality for all.
Yeah.
And at this moment, Black Americans need our help. And the same way that we fought for the LGBT community, the same way we fought for women, we need to fight for them. They are our neighbors and they help build this country. And if they, as quickly as they can make them minimize, Tabby, they can make you and I minimized again. There's no better power in this country than a white man. You know, we could quickly become secondary again. And not that we have gained full power. I mean, I just got in an argument with somebody about it the other day. That, you know, God forbid that women are taking their jobs and how women can't take certain positions because a girl just can't do that job, that we could quickly lose it. It has to be equality for all.
Right. And unfortunately, it's not because it's a societal thing, because you're always going to have men that are thinking women can't do certain things. And you're always going to have people that are racist out there who are like, what are you doing? Because they're predisposed because of their environment, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not strong enough to go outside of their norm or their comfort zone to go beyond.
Right.
You know? So, you know, that's the hard part. It's not a legal thing. It's a society thing. And it's where we need to start making our changes, you know?
Right.
And I can tell you what, right now, I promise you, if I'm walking down the street by myself and a man approaches me, black or white, I'm crossing the street. Or I'm putting my hand on my gun.
Right.
Because I don't trust any man that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Out of fear of my own life.
Right.
Does that make me a racist? Does that make me a sexist? That's my right to survival.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we're not going to ever live in a utopia, but mm-hmm. I really hope that a black head can walk down the street without being assaulted by the cops, because it's fucking bullshit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. My sister made this good point. She was talking about, you know, she just bought a house and she was having it built, that during my visit, she could take me to the houses that were under construction
mm-hmm.
and walk through a house that she was approved for a mortgage from and enter the property with no issue. Her black friend was not given the same right. Her black friend was walking through the neighborhood and somebody came out and was looking at them and called the police because her and her friends and family were walking down the street. She qualified for a mortgage in that fucking neighborhood. Right. Why would they call the police on her and not my sister and her family? Right. You know, that kind of stuff needs to stop.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. It's unfair. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to admit it. It's okay to say it's happening and it's fucked up.
It is. Oh, right. It does happen and it is fucked up. And, you know, we need to work on changing that.
Right. And I think, you know, we don't have the answers. I have no idea how it all starts. I think how it all starts. Oh, I changed my mind. I do know how it starts. It starts by things like this. It starts by protest and riots and big giant controversy that is going to open people's eyes and say, okay, well, something, we can't keep putting this under the rug.
Right.
We just can't. People have had enough, and this is the time. We are the people to do it. So let's do it and let's figure it out. And it might be a slow process and it might fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the other thing, is I hate for something to happen and then, well, that didn't work, so let's just go back to let's just keep working on it. That's the great thing about this country. We have the ability. We, the people, have the ability. So let's keep doing it.
Right.
And let's see what fucking happens.
Yeah. You know, I truly believe that a lot of this stems from, there's no economic opportunity for in the inner cities.
No, you're right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Classism is a huge thing in America. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Right. And we need to start helping our lower economic classes, getting a hold of better education, getting them opportunities to make something of themselves and lifting themselves up out of the water. Right?
Right.
Kind of like the phrase, you give a guy a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Right? Right.
We need to teach and educate, like real education, not our crappy public education. Mm-hmm. We need that. And then we need to start investing money, not just giving money, but we need to invest in businesses and opportunities and tourism and bringing money into the black communities so they have an opportunity. Because
right.
If you look outside your window and the only opportunity you see is slinging crack,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
Right.
That's it. You're not going to worry about going to school because after you graduate, guess where you're going to be? You're going to be on that street corner.
Right.
So we need to start lifting them up in a way that they're going to be able to help themselves.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, just like from the mental health side that I was speaking of, is, you know, there's generational wealth and all of this comes from our parents, right? And so it's like the level of success I've reached, I would say is around my father, if not more at his age though, right? But okay. That's because your parents, they work fucking hard. They lift you up. you take off and run, you lift yourself up a little higher,
yep,
then you're doing it for your children. But you're right. If all you see outside your window is the same wash and repeat, and your struggle from day to day is just to fucking survive.
Yeah, because you're worried about walking down the street to go to school because you're going to get jumped by other kids of the same race, right? Because you're not part of the gang.
Right.
There's that. You have no father in the home. Mom's working three jobs just to keep the lights on. There's no guidance.
Right.
There's nothing. And
And the solution of just coming into those communities and putting money in, and this whole regentrification and, you know, white businessmen building, you know, or buying properties within Black communities, then overpricing them and then driving the Black community out. That's not the answer.
No, that's not.
The answer is to, invest into those communities, provide them the ability to turn their parks back into safe places, turn their community centers back into good places, safe places. We don't need white men going in there, buying their shit, fancying it up so they can't afford it. That is not the fucking answer. And we like to do that. Like to see a development and be like, ooh, here's a way for us to get money. That'll make some nice condos. Let's get rid of these rent control people and sell them as $1 million condos now. Not the answer. Nope. All we're doing is pushing our poor
further away.
We do the same thing with, you know, white trash mobile homes, right?
Yep.
We want to widen the street. We're not helping those people. We're just, let's hide their trailer park somewhere else.
Right. We're going to plant trees around it so we don't have to see it.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But we need to go in and create opportunities so so you have more Black business owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, and
Jacksonville's done a good job with that too, where I think it came with the owner of the Jaguars, who is an Indian descent, maybe. I don't know exactly. I know he is an immigrant. He is obviously a minority, but he, along with the city of Jacksonville, started these small business plans for minorities and poor business owners, white or Black, to help invest into their businesses, to allow them to buy storefronts, to help them. Like, that is the kind of thing that needs to happen almost nationally, because I do have the benefit of a white father that worked to a certain point. He got here, which allowed me to get up a little higher and allows you to get up a little higher. I can't deny that.
And
you know, I didn't have to crawl out of the hole my dad did, you know?
Right.
You didn't have to crawl out of the same hole your parents did.
Nope.
They went through a lot more
than
to get us to where we were, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then we have to earn our spot. And the problem with the poor and even just minorities is they're just not given that opportunity. They're never going to see outside. I love what you said about their window. They're never going to see it. They're going to see the same thing over and over again. And that feels hopeless.
It does.
And you feel less than people, right?
Right. You do. And you have to be a very, very strong person to pull yourself out of that sort of situation. Very much like our parents. Because, like you said, your dad was dirt poor. My mom was dirt poor. Orphanage. The whole, you know.
Yeah.
Homeless. I mean, homeless. Like, bad parents, the works, right? So, you have to be a strong person to pull yourself out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my mom did. She pulled herself out of it. She pulled herself a step up out of it. She, you know, was able to support herself. She raised two kids. Both kids went to college. And mind you, she doesn't even have a high school education.
Right.
So she's a very strong, hard-working woman, but she was raised by the streets.
Right. But so, and your mom and my father are the kind of person that, you know, when they talk about white privilege, are the kind that you look at and you say, how can you say that they were privileged? They were orphans. They were fatherless. They, you know, he made it, but his brother and sisters didn't. So doesn't that mean everybody's equal and it just matters of how hard you work? I'm not taking that away from them at all. My dad fucking busted his ass. But it also makes the difference that he was white. And I don't know what difference. I don't know what door was open for him and not for the black man standing next to him.
Right.
But it's naive of me to think that it doesn't happen.
Right.
And I'm not willing to argue against people with that. I'm very proud of my father. I'm very proud of his accomplishments. Him being white and having white privilege does not take away from that. And I think that if he was alive today, my stepmom and I were talking about this, that we'd be curious to hear his argument. Because here I am arguing on his side. I don't even know
right
what his opinion would be. But I know that my dad owned property in some of the worst parts of Norfolk. And instead of buying these properties, fancying them up, and outbidding or outpricing them so the black community could not live in them, he fixed them up and left the rent what it was.
Right.
Just to help. I mean, of course the man made some money, right? He was buying real estate. But he also considered those people his friends, which my stepmom was like, these are our tenants. But to my dad, they were his friends. They were the same people that he was at some point, right?
Right.
The man working day to day just to pay for his fucking bills. The person living in, when I moved with my dad, we lived in a 2-bedroom fucking apartment. We had 5 kids. It was a struggle
right
at first. You know, yeah. Thankfully he had the military to help, but my dad never held himself up to, well, now I'm a white, overprivileged man that makes this amount of money. He was always
humbled.
Chuck Grayson that ate pork and beans.
Right.
And was a working man. And
yeah.
he instilled that in all of us. So I understand how people don't want that taken away from them because we all work very hard.
Right. We do.
So, and I can get that. I've really tried to learn as much as I can about white poor people and their feelings on it.
Right.
Because
they don't
I'm concerned
feel like
about
they,
that.
They don't feel
yeah.
like they have any privilege. Like
yeah.
your father had more privilege than my mother, not because he was a man, but he had the option of the military. Right.
Well, because he was a man, he did. Just if we're looking at your mom and dad. Yeah, absolutely. My dad was a white male. Your mom's a white man. My dad gets one extra step. Maybe even 2 or 3.
Right. You know, she
right?
wasn't able
my
to
dad
finish
was a
school.
Straight. Yeah, my dad was a straight man. There's an extra step. Your mother wasn't.
Was a
she
gay
goes,
woman.
Yeah, absolutely, right? 2 white people.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's the thing I guess I want to point out is that there are walls for everybody. There's a mountain to climb. And mm-hmm. I don't know why I feel like saying this, but I heard this the other day. It was by a preacher, and the woman had said, honey, if the mountain was smooth, you wouldn't be able to climb it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have anything to grab onto, you can't get to the top. Wherever the top of your mountain is, you got to have those hardships to climb over to get to the top.
Right.
And I just thought that was kind of cool, right?
I like that. I guess the analogy I would make is I like hard work and I agree. What's that saying? Like nothing is worth having if you didn't fight for it or nothing is worth it if it wasn't.
Oh, nothing is worth having if it's easy.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I feel like what Black Americans are saying is that when we start at that start line, well, they already have a ball and chain on their leg. So then when you say go,
right,
we get to start off a little faster and they don't. And that's not fair. Let's balls removed.
Right.
And let's go. Let's do it equally.
Right.
Let's do it. And if again, if you have nothing to fear, if you equal up or are ahead of this person, you know, skill wise, then you've got nothing to worry about. If they win that job fairly, not because I don't agree. Let's not start giving jobs away because of race, of sex. And I'd be pissed if I was told you got that position, Sabrina, because you're a girl. I'd be so fucking mad. I would
right.
leave my job right now.
Would you?
Yes. I don't want it. I don't want something handed to me. I want to earn it. And I want to earn it equally. I want to be able to say to the person across from me, I won this.
Right.
Without somebody going, well, actually, she's got really big tits. And we had a quota to fill. And we needed one white girl on the team. And that's why she got it. I'd walk away. I don't want that.
So what is that? What is it called? Affirmative action.
Yeah.
So you think we should erase affirmative action? Because most companies have a diversity quota they have to meet.
Yeah. So somebody asked me that the other day of affirmative action, if I didn't support it because of that statement. And I said, the rule is there because it has to be there, because there is an issue with corporations and companies filling spots with women and minorities. And the only way for us to be able to get those positions is affirmative action had to be in place, because companies were not acting equal for all. They're looking at resumes where the names say a certain thing and moving it on. They're looking at it and saying, oh, this is a female. This is a high stressful position. She's out. Only a man can hold this spot. If affirmative action made it an equal playing field, then fine. Affirmative action doesn't necessarily say that you have to fill every position. It's saying that it needs to be equal. And if these companies are saying that, you know, Nate, being a white man, earned his position over me, I'm not going to be the one in the street saying, well, he only got it because he's white. He got it because he was better at this or that and that. And if you're okay, I don't know.
But then here comes the argument, is that Nate, the white guy, is better at the job because he got a better education than possibly the black guy. So
absolutely, right?
So they need to knock off the white guy and raise up the black guy, and even though he's less qualified, to put him in the position. Is that fair?
No, that's not fair. And I, you know, hopefully that's not what's going on. But I would think the problem is there is that we need to find out how to get the minorities equal education and equal rights. And it's starting from the beginning, right? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that we're not going to be able to help at this point. There's 40, 50-year-old men that might not ever get the same education that was afforded to my husband or whatever it might be.
Right.
Because their life circumstances also just didn't allow it. Who had time for college when every dime you're going is to feed your family?
Right.
And to feed your mother and your grandmother, you know? The future of making it, hopefully by the time Lorelai is going for a job, that I don't know. Oh shit, I just ripped my fucking earphones off.
Oh, good job, girl.
I don't know either.
You talk about the line, right? The starting line, and making it fair and equal for everyone. That comes from education, good homes, supporting the family. That's where it comes from. That's where lower economic families fail. Right. Unless they're really, really, really strong. We need to put money back into the community so Joe Blow can go out, work his business in locally, make a decent wage, be able to come home to the family, help the children with homework, and support them and teach them good lessons. But right now, they don't have that. I guess my opinion is that is where all of this stems from.
Right.
You know, we can talk about laws and we can talk about retribution and, you know, we can talk about slavery and the unfairness. And I understand that. And it is not right. But if you want to make everything equal, you got to start at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw this documentary. It's called Dark Girls, I think. And it's about colorism just within their own race, right? And it was this 5-year-old girl, and she had a picture. Imagine the people emoji. You know how now on your iPhone, It shows like the whitest of white to the darkest of black girls, if you're going to pick the girl emoji. So she basically had that on a piece of paper. She was 5 years old, and she was told to point to the pretty girl.
She pointed to the white girl.
Yeah, and then she was told to point to the ugly girl. She pointed
to the black.
And she pointed to the darkest of the black. And then the counselor asked her to point which one looks like her. And she pointed to the darkest of... And that is at 5 years old that she already knows that she is the ugliest, or in her mind, the ugliest, and that the white girl is more privileged, is prettier, is this and that. They asked her to point out the bad girl, too, and it was the color, the darkest colored. Where, like, that's what... That's why it's like generation to generation. She's heard that and felt that from somewhere, from her teachers, from her mom, from her this, and from her neighbors, from the fellow white girl in her class, from the fellow black girl in her class, from the fellow peer, whoever it might be.
Do you know where it just came? You know where this comes from, right? Good versus evil. Good is always this white angel. Evil is always this dark creature. It is subliminally put into our entire society when you think of good versus bad.
Right.
In all our basic tales, good versus bad. When you think of good, you think of light. And you think of bad, you think of dark. Because as a kid, the dark is scary. So you associate your skin color with the scary dark. And the light is good, and I'm light, so I'm good, you know? Just a different way of thinking about it. I mean, that literally just came to me, which is, could be part of the narrative that we might need to change, that good versus evil isn't the white light versus the black knight, right?
Right, yeah. That's a good point. I think that's the interesting thing, right, is that if we all felt safe enough just to talk and to be able to talk without saying, oh, Tabby's a racist. Oh, look at Sabrina. She's, you know, how dare Sabrina have an opinion? Her life is so easy. Is that if we can sit and talk to one another and educate and really think of it from just a mental side of where we don't even know it's happening. You might not even know that you look at something and associate it with something. Like, for me, when the Virginia Tech shooting happened, I remember being at work, and I profiled the guy. It was a white guy. He was this. He was a loner. He was blah, 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 blah. I was completely wrong. It ended up being an Asian, and I was like, what the fuck? Didn't see that coming. Because in my mind, all school shooters were white kids, right? Same thing with back in the day. It was, if you watched SVU, most rapists were black men. Most serial killers,
most white pedophiles are white men.
White men, right. So it and not a woman. Where not until the later episodes did they show a woman raping a man, a woman molesting a child. Because subliminally, we all have these decisions we've already made in our head. And it's scary to admit that.
Because subliminally, women are the nurturer and the protector, so you cannot associate a woman with that, where you can associate a man with violence. So let's talk about our brain for a second. Because just at the core of human beings as primates, nothing else, okay?
Right.
We naturally group people together in stereotypes. And it is a way of protecting ourselves. And it's not meant to be racist. It's not meant to be sexism. And unfortunately, it does come out in that form. But naturally, we see somebody and subconsciously, we put them in a category to almost protect ourselves until we know more. Right? Like, for example, if I meet a strange guy, I'm putting him in the category of a threat until I consider he's no longer a threat. You know, that's my survival mechanism. If I had Dion had a delivery. A girl showed up. I didn't let her in my house. I wasn't terribly threatened mm-hmm. by her. But because I wasn't expecting her, I considered her a threat until she wasn't. You right. know? And so I think there's part of that that's in our human nature to do. Whether it's right or wrong, mm-hmm. it just is.
Yeah, there's... we had to take a workshop at, in for my job called Unconscious Bias. And ever since then, it's been something as simple as, for example, my kids up until this past year didn't realize that other restaurants had other sauces through their drive-thru window besides barbecue sauce. Because the last 18 years of my son's life, when we go to any fast food place, it's, can we have barbecue sauce? Can we have barbecue sauce? So if you would have asked him a year and a half ago, the best condiment out there was barbecue right. sauce. Not because he had tried anything else, not because I've ever said anything bad about the other ones. But in my opinion, barbecue sauce is the best. And then all of a sudden, I think when Amaris came around, it was, there's thing called Chick-fil-A sauce and Polynesian sauce.
Sweet
and
sour sauce. Sweet
sour
right?
sauce. And my kids like all that shit now. And I'm like, ugh. But if you think about it, I, even without knowing it, had conditioned them to like one thing and one thing right. only. And I could have easily done that against a certain race and not even realized that I was yeah. doing it. I did it against every other fucking condiment out there. No clue.
Right. And it's, again, that's it's, just how our brains work.
Yeah.
And I read, yeah. and it's been a long, long time since I read that study, but basically it protects our brain because we would not be able to analyze person from person from scratch every single right. time you met somebody. Your brain would fucking explode, which is why it right, compartmentalizes yeah. things.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great. I think this, it's funny, you and I weren't even planning to talk about this, and now we've talked about it for an hour and a half. I think all these conversations are good. I just want to say to everybody out there listening, if somehow we've offended or spoke about something we don't know or that you know more about, please feel free to reach out
and
to
us
in, yeah, in a caring and light way, though, because if you come at me super fucking mean, I might just delete you. It, because I just want, you know, it has to be a safe place for us to talk. I am so willing to learn and know more and to be, point out my own errors, because we do have a platform to talk to people. Do you realize my sister just ate a fucking Popeye's chicken sandwich
because
the other day because we said that they were bad. And so she never tried it. And then I was like, oh, by the way, we tried the non-spicy one. I tried the spicy one and I loved it. And she was like, well, you never told us that. And so I've never tried one. So I went and got her one. She fucking loves them.
There you go.
She's leaving Chick-fil-A now. But because, so we, you and I also need to be aware of the platform that we have, even if it's not a national one
right.
or, you know, whatever it might be. We, to know that we don't know everything as much as we think we do, or as much as
we
talk.
Or we like to think we do.
That, right. Is that you and I are both open and wanting to learn
yes.
more. And if you can push what I think I know, I love that.
Oh yeah.
I love learning from people and knowing that there's something else out there. So please feel free to reach out
yes,
to either one.
Yes, just in
of
a
us.
Very respectful manner, because I'm going to be honest with you, I've had situations where I have talked to people about this particular topic and they have looked at me and said, you have no say in this fight because you are white.
Right.
And
yeah.
I said, well, then good luck.
Right. See, that's the thing, is it makes you it makes you scared. It makes you worried to talk about it. It makes you worried to feel like you can't ask questions. Or I have a good friend, Jamie, and she's made me feel very safe and that I can ask her questions. Mm-hmm. Like I asked her about the fact that somebody had said, I don't see color. And I was like, I don't get how you say that, because it was a black man that said it to me, because I see color and I point out color to my kids because I think what makes us all unique and different is great and should be celebrated. I think black men are big, strong men. I associate a black man with a strong figure. I associate a black woman as a powerful, a louder, dominating female that, in my opinion, if black women were actually given the full opportunities that they should, they'd probably blow me the fuck out of the water. I bet a black woman could. People think that I'm very strong and powerful. I'm telling you, the way that I perceive black women, they would fucking obliterate me. And I'm talking about professionally, that I think that they could fucking kill it if they were given the opportunity. And black women are one of the least people that, or least group that people ever consider.
Right.
Even within the black community, they're not respected and they're put down. And there's, again, colorism within them. I just think that they are super fucking strong women, and given the opportunity, they're going to blow us the fuck away.
I agree, because they've had a harder life. So they're stronger than us.
Right.
So they're...
Yeah, they have this ability to command attention and an audience that I think could be used in such a great way.
Yeah, have you ever tried having a conversation with three black women? You don't get a word in edgewise. Let me know. You just sit there. Don't even try.
Yeah, I mean they're great at it. And in a professional setting, as CEOs, as executives, as attorneys, as whatever it might be, what an asset I think a black female would be for a business. And like I said, given the opportunity, I think they'd blow us all the fuck out of the water.
But we got to start at the basics with the education so they have those opportunities.
Yeah, and just giving them more opportunities to be on an equal playing field. Oh, yeah, all good things. So you sent me a few other articles. I'm just going to move on because I think that, you know, we don't have a resolution. These are our opinions. Yep. We don't know the answers. We'll just see how this all plays out. I'm hoping for the best for everybody and that lives are spared.
Yes.
And on both sides, you know, I don't want to see any more officers injured for doing their jobs correctly. And I don't want to see any more black men murdered on the street.
I don't want to see anybody murdered on the streets.
Yeah, it's enough of it. So we'll just see what happens. I think we can all admit COVID's fucking over, right?
I don't know.
Is that all done?
Well, I don't know. You just talked about people going to the bar and getting sick. So is it over?
Because look, my mayor and governor is like, well, it is what it is. Let's keep going, people.
Yep. Which?
We're never going back to quarantine. So if you still are in quarantine, good for you. I feel like nobody forgot to tell me it was over with. And in my mind, I still want to be there. And the more work I have to do, the more annoyed I am.
Well, that's because, Sabrina, you just want to stay at home and do Zoom conference and have a really nice top and then jammy bottoms on the bottom all day long.
Yeah, right?
That's what that
all is. All day long. So, I think it's over. We're never going back to the way that 90-day was. I hope everybody enjoyed their time in the woods. They have plowed down the woods and it's the real world.
Yep, it's
you came out of the woods as a farmer.
Yep, canning peaches. Did you see that?
Yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, what was that all about?
I had ordered 50 pounds of Georgia peaches from the peach truck. They were so delicious. So you get them. And they're not quite ripe, so I had to set up a table and then set them out basically on the counter on this table and let them ripen. And 50 pounds of peaches is a lot of peaches.
Yeah, it is a lot.
So I ended up canning. Me and my mother-in-law spent the whole day, a couple days ago, canning. It was actually really great. The hardest part was you have to take the peaches, boil them, skin them, and then pit them. And then you put them in the jars. And then you have to make syrup to go in them. And then you put them in a hot water bath. That process, plus we made 5 jars of peach jam. And we ended up with 20 quarts of peaches, which are those huge jars. So yeah, we did that, took all day. I mean, it was just, it was so much fun, Sabrina. Like, my feet hurt at the end of the day, but to be able to put all that food in the pantry, I mean, it was so rewarding.
Yeah, and yeah, satisfying.
And then I tried some of the peach jam this morning, and it was so good. Better than anything can get from the store. And I know everything that's in it. And our tomato plants are producing. I come out of the garden looking 6 months pregnant with full of tomatoes.
Nice. So when do you start canning the tomatoes?
As soon as you get them. So I've got a big, huge bowl. Our cherry tomatoes are really what's going crazy. And our regular, a little bit of our regular ones. So as you get them, you can them, and you just can the tomatoes. And again, you got to boil them, peel them, cut out the core, and then you you put your garlic and your basil and your oregano in it, and then you just can them. So
right,
when you need a can of tomatoes to like add to your spaghetti sauce or lasagna or whatever, it's right there.
Right.
So that's what we do with that.
And so are these vegetables coming? I know the peaches did not, but are the tomatoes a result of all the work you did for the aquaponics farm?
No, it's the result of me building those beds. Do you remember?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, those are from the beds. The tomatoes, the peppers, because we've been getting a lot of green peppers, are coming from there. And then we are getting, eventually we're going to have some carrots as well.
And what about the aquaponics? Has that started to produce yet?
No. So really what's happening is, one, we were too late in the season to start growing. And then two, we don't have our nutrients and minerals up. So some of it's working and some of the things are not working. So we've started tomato seeds out there. So we've got a second crop of tomatoes preparing itself for when this one goes out. So we have constant tomatoes. And then we've got cucumbers growing. And we've pickled 2 cucumbers. So to make pickles. Right. And then we've got another plant going of that. And then we're going to start creating a little pot for onions. And then another pot for potatoes. I mean, we're just going to start straight up growing almost all our food.
Okay, great. Wait, yeah. So how are the fish doing?
They're doing good. They're getting big. Those tilapia, it didn't take long for them to get big. They're probably like that big now.
Nice.
They start out like that. So I keep watching. I'm like, yeah, eat up, eat up. Yeah, I'm going to eat you. Because I'm the only one in my house that eats fish.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we went... I know in the beginning of this, so I guess I diverted. In the beginning of our podcast, Tabby and I start to record. I call Tabby and pick up, and I'm in the middle of screaming at my husband. Like, I don't think you've ever heard me talk to him like that. Like, telling him to get the fuck out of the room.
I was like, ooh, this is like she's talking to that douchebag that showed up at the restaurant.
Right, yeah. I was so fucking fired up. And, that cut, it's you. When did you ask me why I was mad at him?
Yeah, why were you mad at him? You don't even know now, do you?
I don't, but I know that
I know you were complaining the house was a wreck because you had a flood.
Oh, yeah. So last week, on Ethan's birthday, we were all home and I used the bathroom in the master bathroom around 11 o'clock, and 2 hours later, I walked back to that side of the house, and the entire bathroom, closet, and my bedroom flooded.
Oh, shit.
It had been running for 2 hours and overflowed the toilet and filled everything up.
Girl, so, stop putting your tampons down the toilet.
Yeah, right? Well, it ended up that my husband had gone to the bathroom before, flushed it, but it clogged, and so he didn't realize it. And then when I quickly went to the bathroom, I flushed it, and it started running because it was clogged. And then, but I didn't know that because I ran, went to the bathroom and left that side of the house getting ready for the cake smash. So that's why it overflowed, because it was clogged in there, but it was clogged further down that we couldn't see it.
Gotcha.
So, the result of that is the next day was my 40th birthday vacation. We leave the house. We've got a restoration company coming in. The neighbor is nice enough to, you know, let them in every day. But that means that I am covered with all these belongings from closets. Every one of our surfaces are covered in stuff from our bathroom, from our closets, from our bedroom. Because when we came home, everything was ripped out of our bathroom. Every piece of flooring was ripped out of our bathroom, master bedroom, and hallway. So hardwood floor is gone, everything. So it's a fucking wreck. And I guess my anger this morning just came from the fact that this can't be normal. This can't be the way we're living. What we have to do now is figure out where this stuff that used to go in that bathroom, where it's going to go. Because leaving it on our kitchen table and working on a little corner of your dining room table is not the fucking solution. When you work from home now, I work from home now, our kids are home, and there's nowhere to fucking go.
Right.
And I can't, and I understand we just came back from vacation on Monday. So then you have vacation stuff on top of it. But the fact that everybody's kind of walking around the house like this is fucking okay, it's not okay. And so then before we started podcasting, and I didn't know where my laptop was because somebody hid it so that nobody would steal it. I couldn't find the fucking cord. So then that's in the dining room. So I find that. I go to plug it in. I'm calling to ask Nate a question about my laptop. He's not answering his fucking phone. And then I said something about the shoes in here. And he, well, do you want me to move it out there? What's the fucking point? No, I don't want you to just move things just to fucking move it again. What I'd like you to do is to get up from your computer and start finding a permanent new place for these things. Because right. I'm not going to spend the next 2 months living with shit on my kitchen table. That's not going to work for me.
2 months? It's going to take 2 months?
I mean, who knows how long it's going to take for a contractor to completely redo the bathroom and the master bedroom.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so you just need to take your spare bedroom and create a closet.
Right. Well, that's why he was like, well, you want me to move it into the spare bedroom? You want me to move, pull it out here? No. What I would like you to do is just to start finding a place for something. He's a very fucking messy person. And in the beginning of our marriage, I used to fight it all the fucking time. And then I gave in and understood, all right, you're going to have certain rooms or certain spots that are fucking messy. What I'm not going to be okay with is the whole fucking house being like that.
Right.
And that was the result of me screaming at him this morning. And then right before I had called you, he had left my office and slammed the fucking door. You want to be a fucking child? Oh, be boy. A fucking child. And so when he came back in here, and that's why I was screaming, like, shut the fucking door. You already did this. You already had your moment.
Right. Didn't he tell you not to say this on the podcast?
Of course. I don't care.
I know you don't.
No. I mean, if we're going to keep things real, this is fucking real.
Yep.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I understand.
I get really mad that people say, oh, well, because I am loud and I have an opinion that I'm mean and Nate's so great. Well, you come and live with him.
Right.
Because there's only so much that a person can take. And if I'm giving and being the person to always accommodate and say, well, fine, it's not a big deal. Okay, well, that worked out this time. What about my feelings? What about the fact that this causes anxiety for me? That I can't leave and I can't travel somewhere and I can't I'm fucking stuck. So if I'm just supposed to be okay with you, what is that doing for me? I'm fucking over it.
Well, you should tell Nate then you'd be like, well, you make enough money to support all of us. I'll quit my job and I'll be a stay-at-home mom and I'll clean the house and make sure it all gets done. But you go right ahead.
Yeah. I don't want that life.
Well, you're not very happy with this one either.
No, the way it is at this moment, you're 100% correct. And that's okay, though, because I also
that's
know
part
that
of
it's
marriage.
Yeah, and it's temporary, right? Like, our house isn't always like this. It's there, but our house is going to be like this. So let's start doing something. And when somebody says to me, well, I've been working all day.
Well, so have I.
Right. And not just that, but give me a fucking break. What you've been doing for the last 2 months is boat shopping, and you've been looking at boat accessories, and you've been doing this, and you're always on fucking Facebook, and you ask me all the time if I've seen what you posted on Facebook, or did I see what you tagged me in 4 fucking times today already. Don't tell me that you're working. Shut up.
I'd be like, show me the work then.
Right. Like right now, you remember I yelled about the laundry beforehand. You're going to keep that fucking laundry going? Are you going to fold it and put it away? Or is somebody else going to do that for you? And I understand that my husband has a lot on his plate, but I refuse to fucking coddle him about it because nobody coddles me. I'm expected to deal with everything and move forward with it. Right. And to figure it the fuck out. I'm not going to fucking coddle you. This is supposed to be a team.
Right.
And if I don't feel like it's working like that anymore, I'm going to throw a fucking fit.
There you go.
And that's what you ended up catching.
That's what I walked into.
Catching on to.
Look, I understand that. You know, we've got the kids.
Yeah.
And mind you, I don't work a full-time job like you do either.
Right.
So I completely understand your frustration more. But after I've spent the day cooking, cleaning, canning, putting shit away, blah, 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 someone comes and gets something and leaves a dish in the sink.
Yeah.
I'm about to lose my mind. So I call whoever it was because I always know whoever the hell it was. I don't know how I know, but I always know.
Right.
And I'm like, come put your dish away. We're getting ready to leave. I see Dion's about to leave something. I'm like, Dion, grab this. Don't forget to grab that. Because as much as I love my husband's ADD. And
right,
he'll leave stuff everywhere. And he's been making a good try of it, you know, but I don't bother him with it too much because he does work full time and he does support the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
I am just like, look, I need you to help work on this because I take care of all of this other stuff.
Right.
You know, and one things I have always said was, I don't make your job harder. Don't make mine harder.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, don't make your job harder.
Right. And also, like, I don't like somebody that can't take accountability. I don't like fucking excuses. I'm not going to argue with the denial that you fucking live in on a daily basis. I literally just feel like I've had a fucking enough of it. And some of
right.
it might be just from being trapped together. Right. I mean,
yep.
we have been trapped together. 30 days ago, I felt great about it. It was like, you know, we've made it 90 days. Aren't we so lucky that we still like each
love
other, that we're not arguing with one another? But, you know, this isn't our normal life. We're stuck here together. He's working from home all the time. And it's a lot.
Right. I completely understand.
Yeah. So I think that's where I was when I signed on to this podcast today. And quite honestly, talking about something different and talking about, you know, that the conditions of the world which made it
major white privilege
a little easier. Yeah, well, made this current situation a little easier in, you know, in this household. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you guys
goes.
Have been locked up with each other, with the kids. I understand.
Yeah, I know, right?
Do you see that? You see
the
smile because it's
yeah.
Because you know, 13-year-old boys. Mm.
Right. And there is a part of me, too, that just feels like there's, and I think this is a normal transition in any marriage or relationship, whether it's between a friends or your husband, is that this is, it's normal.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean things are terrible between Nate and I. It doesn't mean that I hate him. It doesn't mean, it just means that this is fucking normal.
Yeah.
And it'll be okay.
Exactly. If you guys didn't fight, then I'd be worried. Right?
Right.
But you're supposed
right.
to fight. You're supposed to have arguments. It's how it works. And that's how you get through
right.
shit. You're climbing the mountain.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just not everybody gets the awkward phone call on video chat of Sabrina screaming where Tabby was like, oh, fuck.
I'm like, oh,
what is happening?
Okay.
Right.
Like,
you're like, are we still recording? Yes, let's fucking
okay.
do this.
I was like, all right then, let's do this. I'm like,
right.
this is going to
let's
be fucking
do this.
Hilarious.
Right. Right. So, that is what Tabby was referring to that we skirted past in the beginning. We'll see how it goes because I'm pretty sure he can hear me
oh,
too.
Oh,
so.
Boy.
Well, I don't know. I feel like he would have walked away by now. I
well,
don't know
maybe
where
he's
he
calmed
if he,
down just as much as you have too.
Maybe. And if he was doing the right thing, he was supposed to move back to his office, which we'll see if that actually
oh,
happened too.
Good times.
So, tell us very quickly. I know your phone is about to die. There was a big win for the LGBT community
yes.
with the Supreme Court. So let's
so,
just mention that quickly before we go.
Yesterday, it was a 6-3 decision that added sexual orientation to the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which basically states that it's unlawful for employers to refuse to hire, fire, or discriminate race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, and now it includes sexual orientation and gender identity. So that is a really huge stepping stone for the gay community.
Yeah, it's a big win.
It is a huge
yeah.
win. I'm actually quite surprised that it came after the right to marriage. As a kid, I always assumed the Title VII would happen before the Marriage Act. So
right.
It's an awesome thing. It's great. And I'm super excited. The article I had sent you was talking about, you know, some other things that this isn't regarding transgender in the bathrooms. They're like, we're not deciding on that. That's not what this is about.
Right.
So it was, like I said, it's a huge win.
It is. It's a huge win. It's, I'm glad that it happened. It shows the little, you know, tweaks in just the wording, right? All we did was add two words that affect such a large community of our country.
Yeah.
And so, a win for them is a win for everybody. Again, it just makes it an even playing
right.
field. You get to retain and obtain a job based on your merit and not based on your sexual orientation.
Correct.
Or gender or whatever it might be.
Right. And this allows people to feel more open to being out at work.
Yeah. And being who they
right.
are, which, you know, again, hiding who you are can have emotional distress on you and your children and whatever it might be. And I think all these movements, all this tweaking is great for who we are as a
yep.
country. So I'm very happy to see that. I'm glad that happened. And it's just forward movement so that it's to be celebrated.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of the LGBTQ community, you need to watch Family Feud Celebrity Edition.
Uh-huh.
RuPaul
God.
And his cast was on there. Holy fuck, it's hilarious. It literally, and it's against the show called The Far Side, The Drawer. I didn't know what that other show was, but those people were pretty funny too. It makes me want to watch RuPaul's drag
really?
Show. I don't know if you've watched it, but these people were that funny that I was just laughing at the cast
okay.
of the show more than the actual game
really?
Show.
Really? Okay. I'll have to look it up.
It's so hilarious. So check that out. And, everybody just I guess be careful out there. I mean, it's still the world is not a normal place still, whether it's sickness or rioting or protest, anything like that. Keep your minds open.
Be safe.
You know? Yeah. Keep your ears open. Listen to people. Check on people and see how they're doing. And try not to kill your husband if you live in my house.
Good luck.
Right. So, all right, why don't you say our goodbyes?
All right, guys, as always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. You can always follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.